You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Monarch butterflies are in trouble. Populations have declined steeply in recent years, and a 2017 report found that monarchs in the western U.S. could be extinct within decades if the current trends continue. New research is shedding light on some of the factors at play, and some of them are unexpected, like an increase in the size of monarchs. Andy Davis is a research scientist at the Odum School of Ecology at the University of Georgia and editor of the journal Animal Migration. He's also the author of the blog monarchscience.org. Andy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on your show.
How dire is the situation for monarch butterflies?
Well, that's a good question. It sort of depends on which stage of their life cycle you look at. There are multiple phases of their life cycle. They spend the winter at overwintering colonies on the eastern coast and also in Mexico. And they also have a spring migration, a breeding season, and then a fall migration back down to the overwintering sites. And so if you only look at the overwintering colonies, then you do see that things look pretty bad. However, if you look elsewhere throughout their cycle, things aren't as bad as what you might think.
If one part of the life cycle, though, is really in trouble, doesn't that mean that the whole organism, the whole species is in trouble?
Not necessarily. It could mean that there's more of a shift in the behavior or the lifestyle of the animals. So, for example, it seems that here in the east, in the eastern portion of their range, they have been doing quite well in the summer. In fact, last year, their summer counts were at an all-time high. So we have pretty good data throughout their summer range in the east here that suggests that there's not really any evidence of a long-term decline. However, in the overwintering sites in Mexico, there is a pretty clear evidence of a decline over the last 20 years. So there's a bit of a mystery right now as to what's going on. We don't really know for sure why these two long-term trends don't match up. There's been speculation that there has been sort of a loss of breeding resources such as milkweeds that they use to lay their eggs on. There's also been speculation by myself and others that suggest that perhaps they're simply not able to reach their overwintering colonies as they used to.
Some recent research actually looked at monarchs living in Florida, and not all monarchs are migratory. These permanent residents in Florida, or at least so it was thought, they looked at them and actually tried to determine where these butterflies came from and found that almost half of them actually appeared to be migrants. So is that possibly evidence that some of these eastern monarch butterflies that aren't making it to Mexico are just stopping in Florida instead? Do we think that this is a change in behavior, or is this simply an indication that maybe we haven't understood their migratory patterns all along?
There is some idea that the monarchs are having trouble making it to their overwintering sites. Either that, or they're simply going elsewhere, as this new paper has suggested. There was a recent collection of five new studies that came out in the journal that I'm the editor of, Animal Migration. This one particular study that you mentioned found evidence, as you said, that some of the monarchs that they captured in southern Florida originated from the breeding range of the eastern monarch, like all the way up to the Midwest. And so that was pretty astounding to find that. Now, their sample size was a little low. However, that evidence makes it seem that those monarchs traveled to southern Florida not by accident, but on purpose, which then sort of begs the question, well, how many other monarchs are doing this as well? There are a number of sites along the southern coast, Louisiana, Mississippi, and so forth, where we know monarchs can sort of live during the winter. Now, when we see the monarchs there, it doesn't seem like these are large accumulations of monarchs hanging from trees like you would see in Mexico. However, these sites may be increasing in importance to serve as sort of alternative overwintering sites for monarchs.
I think maybe I just found a new reason to go to Florida in the winter.
Well, there is some, it's not all rosy. So one of the issues with overwintering at these places is that there's a high incidence of disease in the monarchs. There is a naturally occurring parasite that lives on monarchs, adult monarchs, and at these places where they're overwintering in the coastal areas, we see high incidences of this parasite. Now, it could be that the monarchs that are choosing to go to these places, choosing is not really the right word. It might be that they're winding up at these places because they've unsuccessfully been able to migrate to the overwintering colonies in Mexico.
Because of the parasite.
Because of the parasite, correct. So we know that the parasite tends to drop off in prevalence as the monarchs migrate, suggesting that the parasite is actually removing monarchs from the migratory cohort. And so it might be that these alternative overwintering sites represent sort of a collection of sort of failed migrants, so to speak.
I'm talking with monarch researcher Andy Davis. Animal migration is one of your main research areas, and it's kind of interesting when it comes to the monarchs, as you've already hinted at, a lot of attention has been paid to the decline of overwintering populations in Mexico and the degradation or loss of overwintering habitat there. But what you seem to be describing is a bit of a shift in attention away from just where are they or how many are making it through the winter to this actual migration part of their lifespan. Why do you think that's so key?
Well, a lot of my current impressions about what's going on with the monarchs stem from some recent research that has come out in the last five years or so. Specifically, there's been some research coming out that suggests that it's the spring migration that really matters for determining the numbers of monarchs we see here in the summer.
And that's the migration back northward.
That's correct. This research has shown that you can have a very tiny overwintering colony one year, but then, boom, the next spring, you have a gigantic spring migration and then a tremendous summer population of monarchs, which suggests that, statistically speaking, the size of the overwintering colonies is not as relevant to how many monarchs we see here in the summer, which, again, sort of points to this sort of disconnect between what we see in the summer versus what's happening in the winter. Now, I think a lot of the attention at the overwintering colonies stems from sort of our traditional view of what we used to think was the overwintering colonies were represented the entire sum of the population. Now, there's some logic to that because we used to think that they would all travel, sort of quote-unquote, all travel to Mexico, where they would sort of sit patiently and wait for us to come around and count them on these trees. I think that's, we've sort of realized now that that's a bit of a simplistic view of the fall migration. We now know that a lot of monarchs actually don't make it to these overwintering colonies during the migration. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like the overwintering colonies don't really tell us as much as we used to think they did.
So you already mentioned this parasite that can affect whether or not monarchs have the strength to make it all the way to Mexico during that fall migration. Some other interesting new research actually looked at the size of the butterflies and saw that they seem to be growing over time. They seem to be getting larger. What's the significance of that?
That was some really exciting research that also came out in this new collection of papers. Some researchers from California measured museum specimens of monarch butterflies dating back 100 years ago, and they measured the size of their wings, and they found that, lo and behold, there has been a trend for monarchs to be increasing in size over the last 100 years. Now, they suggested that one possibility for why this is happening is because there has been a shift in the type of milkweed that is available to the monarchs during the summer. And they showed that one particular type of milkweed, common milkweed, or Asclepias syriaca, seems to produce monarchs that are fairly large. And they suggested that there has been a shift towards more and more of this common milkweed, which may explain why the monarchs are getting larger over time. However, an equally sound explanation is that the migration itself is getting harder over time. Now, we know that the migration actually is it's a selective force for creating large monarchs. In other words, if you know about the story of the survival of the fittest in animal populations, you can think of the migration as survival of the biggest. We know that monarchs that are large tend to have a greater success rate in reaching Mexico. So it helps to be large, to have large wings if you're a monarch butterfly. And we know that the monarchs that reach Mexico are larger than the monarchs that you see in the summer. And so what their research has suggested is that if the monarchs are increasing in size over time, that could mean that the selection for large wings is becoming stronger. In other words, the migration is getting harder.
Hmm. But how does that square with the idea that fewer of them are actually making it to Mexico? If they're getting bigger and stronger, shouldn't more of them be successful in getting to Mexico instead of stopping along the coast in Florida or somewhere along the Gulf?
That's a great question. It might be that they are getting larger because of the difficulties that they face during the migration. However, it doesn't mean that they necessarily would be successful. It might be that they're simply dropping out along the way, even though they're getting larger. Now, the other thing that this study showed was that there is a trend for monarchs to be larger in the northern part of their range. And it might have to do with the climate there or the milkweeds. But we also know that there's been a trend for monarchs to be sort of pushing further into the breeding range, into Canada and further because of climate change. Climate change is basically shifting the distribution of milkweeds further north, and the monarchs are basically following that shift. And so if they're starting from further and further north each year, that might explain why the migration is simply getting more difficult each year, because it's a greater distance to have to fly.
What you're telling us is not necessarily a rosy story, but certainly much less dire than I think what a lot of us have heard. And there have been a lot of efforts in recent years to get people planting milkweed and doing things to help the monarchs. Does your understanding of the situation suggest maybe that's not necessary, or maybe it's a little bit misguided?
I suspect that the answer depends on who you talk to. There are, as you suggested, there's a lot of efforts underway to get people on board to sort of help the monarch. And some of these are based on the science, but some of them aren't really. Myself, I don't think the real cause of the monarch's decline in Mexico is related to milkweeds. Now, there are other people who would tell you something different, but from what I've seen from the data and also from just with my own eyes, I mean, last year, their summer population was absolutely enormous. And it was spread throughout almost the entire country. So they have a large population, and it doesn't seem like the milkweeds is really the issue. If people really wanted to help with monarchs, one thing that people can do is sort of create an insect-friendly yard. What that means is basically sort of stop mowing or reduce your mowing and have a section of your yard where you sort of let it go and let the grass grow up and let the bushes grow up. And all of those things can really help the insect populations in general. I mean, you can throw in some nectar plants and maybe some milkweeds, although I'm really hesitant to tell people to go out and plant milkweeds, because there's a problem right now where if you go to the nearest nursery and you look for milkweeds, what you'll find is a non-native tropical milkweed, which isn't native to the U.S. And people will go out and they'll buy that thinking that they're helping monarchs. But what happens is that milkweed, it actually can mess with the biology of the monarch. We think it actually is hindering their migration. And so this is another case where people can actually do more harm than good. I guess the message could be, make sure it's native.
Andy Davis is a research scientist at the Odum School of Ecology at the University of Georgia and editor of the journal Animal Migration. He recently oversaw a collection of new research about the monarch migration. He's also author of the monarchscience.org blog. Thanks so much for talking with us.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me on your show.
Up next, people speak different dialects. Turns out pilot whales do too, and it might be a sign of evolution in action. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.